Hello and welcome back to the After Ellen podcast. I'm your host, Jocelyn McDonald, and today I am joined by Bitch, musical artist and rock star. Bitch, if you didn't know.
Hey.
I'm not insulting her. This is her name. Hey. So, Bitch, I am so excited to have you here. I've been a fan for a long time, and I just found out that you have a new album coming out.
Yes.
I was so excited to get to chat with you. So for those of our listeners who are familiar with your work, how would you describe your style?
Oh, good one. Okay. Let me just put in a shameless plug here. The shameless plug is, yes, I have a new album. It's called Bitchcraft. Mm-hmm. And it's coming out on Kill Rock Stars on February 4th. We did our part, we cried, we built a heart, now we are way too smart to see. I kind of define my new sound as poet pop.
Ooh.
Do you like that?
I do like that.
You know, I've always been a lyricist and a poet, and I've been moving into a more pop direction. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this album is the birthing of poet pop.
Ooh, I love that.
In its essence.
I love the new album. I thought that it sounded like the logical growth of where your music has been recently, and yet the first thing that I thought of on the first song was poetry. So I'm not surprised at all that that was how you think of it.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
It's pop, it's disco, it's electro, and yet it has the strong foundation of someone with like a spoken word, feminist poetry direction that it's coming from.
Yes. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that translates.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So from the very first song on the album, I love the way you kick it off. The first tune is called You're the Man. And it's just a really, it's a great track. It's got a great beat. And yeah, exactly that poet, the poetry element. It was, you know, it has like kind of a, it's kind of humorous, and it kind of takes you by surprise when you get to the chorus and you're like, oh yeah, this checks out. Yeah, this makes sense.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. So, and I was also really delighted to hear all of the elements come together, because in You're the Man and some of the first songs like You're the Man and Easy Target don't include your amazing fiddling. Or guess violining. You're not really like a bluegrass musician. I don't know if we can call it fiddling.
You know, yeah, it doesn't
the
matter either
section.
Way. Yes, yes.
The strings come
the
in.
The violining.
Yes. And I was like, oh yeah, here she comes.
Yay. So, mm-hmm. Good, yeah. I definitely wanted to, you know, violin is my earliest instrument. And mm-hmm. honestly, it feels like one of my first languages. And I've been, as I was writing this, I was very conscious of trying to feature the violin. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like those moments where you kind of remember who you are or something, or
yes.
what your earliest influences are. And, you know, my two coping mechanisms as a child was playing violin and writing poetry.
Oh,
and
okay.
So these were, yeah. So actually, yeah, You're the Man does not have violin in it. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I believe there's only one other song with no fiddle, mm-hmm. but the rest mm-hmm. is very violin forward.
You heard it here, folks. Pop music with violin. There needs to be more of it.
Hey, I'm here to answer your prayers.
I am curious how you recorded this. So did you play all of the instruments?
No. Okay. Oh my gosh. It's been such a...
Tell us everything.
It's been a long, drawn out process.
Oh,
you
I
know,
can imagine.
Gosh. I think I started on my last album, which this is my first album in 8 years. Once it comes out, it'll be 2022. So my last one was... Yeah, 2013. So technically 9 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on that last album I made, In Us We Trust, I started doing long distance collaborations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, were ready then. You were ready for this whole pandemic.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. You're an early adopter of the virtual collab.
Exactly. Because I moved to rural, you know, the middle of nowhere in the middle of making my last album, mm-hmm. I started collaborating with my friend back in Brooklyn, and we just got really good at passing files back and forth. And so that's mm-hmm. kind of like how I approached this whole thing. You know, I've been tinkering with it since those days. Some of these songs are songs that didn't make it on my last album. And, you know, I'm always in a process of making, so... Mm-hmm. I was, you know, writing demos and sending them out to people. So I've had a lot of collaborators on this album. And, you know, a lot of times it'll be like, I'll make a beat and play, you know, lay down some violin over it, which is how Pages started. And then I send it to my friend Roger, and then he swaps out the beat. Like, he changes mm-hmm. the beat. Mm-hmm. Then I send it to Goddess, and then Goddess calls me and is like, You've got to write a new 8-bar phrase.
Okay. So, get to it, miss.
Yeah.
Ooh, you don't argue with Goddess, okay?
No, you don't. So I just had a lot of collaborators on this, and I felt very free in letting people kind of do their magic on things and knowing where my gifts mm-hmm. are and letting them bring their gifts kind of thing. So it was a long, drawn-out process, many long-distance emails and uploads and downloads and Dropbox folders, et cetera.
So throughout the pandemic, you've been doing a lot of virtual shows as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us all about that.
When
did you start that? You started that kind of early on in the whole quarantine situation.
Yeah, I started that really early. I'm not even quite sure why, you know, what inspired, I guess, you know, everybody was kind of talking about it like, oh, you can, now it's so easy. You can just play from your living room. And it's like, yeah. And you have to build a set. You have to be the sound person, be the lighting person.
Right.
It was a lot. But, you know, it was just
people
like
can
a new skill.
In. Yeah, and people can drop in throughout the performance and, like, leave you comments while the thing's happening, and you're, like, you know, getting feedback in real time.
So bizarre. Yeah.
So bizarre.
Very bizarre. It's, like, it was a whole different beast. It's, like, I had to at some point realize, like, wait, don't read the comments. Because if you read the mm-hmm. comments, it's as if you're on stage and you suddenly, mm-hmm. like, zoom in and listen to, like, two people back there by the bar chatting. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, don't do that to yourself. So yeah. I started timing when I would look at the comments and when mm-hmm. I, you know, it's a whole different beast. Mm-hmm. And I found it quite enjoyable once I got into it, but there is just nothing like, you know, real humans in a room. You know,
nothing
I think
like
that's
it.
Something we've all learned to mm-hmm. actually treasure and value and kind of jones for.
So on that note, do you have tour dates upcoming?
Yes, I'm about to go down to New Jersey and play with the Indigo Girls in
oh.
Collingswood. Yeah, I was just practicing. I was just tuning up my fiddle and trying
Excellent.
To decide what songs should I sing. So I'm going to go meet them. It's basically right outside of Philly. So those mm-hmm. are two shows down there. And then I'm going to play a show in Boston and a show in New York early November. And then we'll see. We'll see what pandemic life brings this
yeah,
artistry.
It's pretty unpredictable. I mean, all that we can really project out is that it's there's no point in writing your plans in stone.
Oh, it's awful. It is so awful. I don't know if I'm just getting older or if I just... I think everyone just has more anxiety in life.
Yeah. There's
oh
a lot to be anxious
gosh,
about.
Gosh, yeah.
I love how we were all under the mistaken belief. Well, we were under a lot of mistaken beliefs. First, that quarantine would last for 2 weeks and that all that we needed was 2 weeks to stop the,
yeah.
the spread. And
oh
then
gosh.
We were all like, well, you know, once there's a vaccine, then we'll go back to normal. And now it's like, no, that's not happening.
Oh my gosh. I know.
There is no normal.
What are we going to do?
I don't know, but we're definitely going to learn to live with uncertainty and anxiety, because what else can we do? The anxiety is not going anywhere, but I think that one of its palliatives is music. That's one of the things that I've learned throughout the pandemic, is making music of my own makes me feel less afraid of disease or losing people in my life or just my own mortality. Mm. And I honestly feel the most at peace when I'm making music of my own or hearing other people play music.
What do you play?
Well, I play the banjo, and you know who got me into that is Sarah.
Okay. God, I love the banjo.
So for our listeners, Sarah is one of my best friends who is good friends with Bitch.
Yes, she's my, she does all my online, she ships out all your Bitch merch to your house.
Yes.
And so, I've known her for years.
Yeah, so she brought me back a banjo after a woman's festival. I think it might have been Ohio Lesbian Festival that she got her banjo at. And she brought it to my house, and I was like, holy shit, I'd tried so many instruments. I'd tried guitar and piano, and I'd always loved singing. When I felt that banjo in my hands, it was like listening to the voice of God. And I just felt...
They are so beautiful.
It's definitely... It's interesting how... You know, you may not think of yourself as a musical person, and then one experience could just change your whole perspective on life. And it has. Now I'm like obsessed with music. It's all I do.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that if more people would feel comfortable being beginners and sucking at stuff, then they would find music to be really restorative and healing in these uncertain times. Because you really can't, especially if you're learning an instrument, if you're already good at it, you know, you can think about more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
If you're not good yet, you cannot think about pandemics while you're trying to learn to pick a tune. It's just,
Your brain cannot. Oh my God. It's so true.
I shared this, like, you know, piece of insight with my banjo teacher, who's a professional musician, and he was like, that is absolutely not true. I can sit on stage and be thinking about, like, oh shit, did I pay that parking ticket?
Fine, demystify it for me.
Yeah, I'm like still very much in the mystical experience of play music. Yeah. So you play the violin. I see there's a bass behind you. What else do you play?
I play bass. I play a little bit of keyboard, ukulele. Mm-hmm. Those are my mains.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say I can get around on anything with strings, but the banjo eludes me.
Well, it's got that weird fifth string. The drone string is really going to throw you for a loop.
Yeah. And I love a drone.
Right? Yeah. So good. Have you ever picked up an Appalachian dulcimer?
I don't think so.
Oh yeah, you got it. You got to try it.
I do have a fantasy about making like going living in the mountains and
that's what I did.
Making an album of Americana music. I'm studying that for a while.
Come on down to North Carolina.
Oh, is that where you were?
I just moved to North Carolina to like learn how to make banjos and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, neat.
I'm serious. It's taking over my brain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dulcimer's great because it's got that droning effect, like you were saying. You love the drone, and so you will love the dulcimer because it's only got three strings, and of course you can tune them all to the same note, and then only fret. You know, so everything's a chord, or you can tune them like A D A or D. D-A-D-A-A, you know, whatever. There's lots of different tunings for dulcimer, but yeah, you'll love it.
Awesome.
So, I want to take a second to describe to our listeners who can't see you right now. Bitch has the most incredible style. So there is a Mylar gold curtain behind her, and she's got fluorescent green hair with a like Melanie Peach ruffle shoulder. They're like epaulets. They're not part of your shirt. They're worn as a cape.
It's on my to-do list. I'm stitching them onto this shirt for the Indigo Girls shows this weekend.
Wow.
So now they're held together by a shoelace.
Oh, wow.
I am kind of a stylist, yeah.
You are a stylist. And yeah, you've always had incredible style. I've seen some of your shows in the past. And so tell us, like, what is your philosophy on style? Do you have one? Do you have an aesthetic?
I definitely have an aesthetic. When I was little, I completely idolized Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. And I wrote to her when I was young, and I asked her if I could have that newspaper skirt she wore in the Time After Time video.
Wow.
So it makes me realize that I've been into fashion since I was little, and I've always loved, you know, a wild kind of punk sensibility. Mm-hmm. And I'd say my aesthetic is playful, is the number one. I've always used things that aren't normally, you know, meant for the hands on the hands, things that aren't meant for the, you know, so I'm very playful and,
You're out here repurposing things, you know, like you're saying, your place is tied with a shoelace. And I think that to me that connects with your music because you have these very serious topics that are presented in a very playful way. And it's not a sarcastic way, but it is a humorous way. It is like poking fun at some tender things.
And
I feel like you have, your music is very playful, and I'm struggling to put into words exactly like how I see the connection between your style and your music and what I think listeners who haven't heard you need to know about that. But especially in this album, there is so much of a political message about independence and reclamation of personal power in the face of a society that is categorically and systemically extracting every last ounce of joy from our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's a message in there about resisting that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On a
personal level and as a collective, in what ways that you can find your collectivity, in the ways that you can find your community.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm so glad you're hearing that. That means a lot to me.
I'm just like projecting onto you what I think it's about.
It's
kind of surreal to hear somebody describe your music to you, but
it's wild. You know, I've always felt like an outsider. Like, you know, my parents are English, and you know, they just always were the ones that talked funny and ate weird food, and you know, and then when we moved to Michigan, where I went to high school, it was just, I don't know, I've just always been a little outside of culture, I feel like. And sometimes I think that's a position that probably serves me in my art, because it helps me like comment on the culture because I don't quite feel part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's very interesting too, because I noticed something about your path over your career, because it's kind of rooted in a punk, it's like a middle finger, but instead of a lot of punk music is like really aggressive and angry, and yours is like a middle finger, like, fuck you, I'm about to be happy.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
There's
something going on there.
Yeah, and like the colorfulness. There's something that Maya Angelou wrote about thinking about being like colorful as one of her jobs, you know?
Ooh,
and I think of that too, like to be an example of that, you know, kind of wild, joyous.
It's a rebellious
cartoon. Yes, there is a rebelliousness
cartoon,
to it.
Yes. Are you an Aries?
Yes.
Oh,
how'd you know?
I'm an Aries.
I have it written all over my face. Oh my goddess, I love it. We always recognize each other.
Yeah, I see the Aries in you. I think we talk about astrology on the After Ellen podcast every time we record one. But...
Well, that's pretty like lesbianic, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm Aries with a Leo rising and an Aquarius moon.
Oh, okay. So much of the iconoclast and of not fitting in, not being a part of the group, and yet being ready to take the stage anyway.
Yes.
Watch me do it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
when's your birthday?
March 29th.
I'm March 30th.
Oh my God.
That is crazy witchy.
I love it.
Jay Brannon's March 29th too.
I know who that is.
He's a singer songwriter. He's great. You should check him out. Yeah, he's awesome.
Jay Brannon. Oh, Jay Brannon. Mm-hmm. So is this album the first time you are on Kill Rock Stars?
No, this is my second album with them. Make This Break This, which was my first album, my first solo album after Bitch and Animal parted ways. Mm-hmm. So Kill Rock Stars put out my first solo bitch album, which was called Make This Break This. So it's our first time. That was in 2006.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're happy to be back with Kill Rock Stars?
Yes. Yeah. God, I love them. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
They're such good punks.
Good. Yes. Okay. Yes. You know, and that's what I meant to say, because I kind of went on a tangent about punks and then I wanted to bring it back. I think that it's, there's something about the direction in which our society is headed that is not, tolerant of it's not punk. Like, our society is not this is not punk's moment, and maybe it should be, because I feel like something that we're seeing is people are so fucking uptight and wrapped up in rules and systems and who can say what and who can be what and be where and when. And I feel like maybe what we need is a re-examination of punk. We need a punk for our era.
Well, I definitely see the Black Lives Matter movement as a punk uprising.
Ooh, okay. Go on. Tell us more.
You know, it's about bucking a system that is not serving us. You know, and it's about self-organizing and having, you know, appointing our own leaders instead of, you know, government leaders. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, I see that as a total punk movement, even though it's not about music or whatever, but it is about self-identity and self-respect.
Yeah, but and that's exactly what I mean, because what that responds to is living in a police state. And that is where we are. The gravity of the system feels like it is so big it will pull everyone in. And so Black Lives Matter is a great example of finding the cracks to break that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's deep. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's funny because I never even like considered myself punk until I started hanging out with punks. Like, my first band, Animal, and I, we were always referred to as punk because of our ethos. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it was related to a sound. But then I realized, like, no, it's about this value system. You know,
because, you don't sound like the Ramones. But you don't need to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, thank God for that, honestly. You don't need another remote. So you've got this tour upcoming with Indigo Girls. You've got this album coming out. What else do your fans need to know? Because all your listeners, all the listeners to this podcast are obviously fans now.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. What do they need to know? I mean, you know, the time to act is now. I mean, did you hear Polar Bear?
I love Polar Bear. Yeah, I love Polar Bear. Tell the audience a little bit about what Polar Bear is about.
I mean, it's about,
since they haven't heard it yet,
corporate greed and, you know, the killing off of Mother Nature. And I wrote it, you know, after reading an article about the polar bears and picturing, you know, a polar bear on their shrinking ice cap.
Emaciated.
Yeah.
Downtrodden. Yeah. It's very scary. The images.
The
Arctic.
Yeah. And it's like, I was in the forest and I literally felt like I could, feel the howl of that polar bear. Mm-hmm. And that's the chorus. I can hear the howl of the polar bear and I know she's scared, you know, like we are facing, as we all know, a new era. What feels like, you know, a huge climate emergency.
Yes.
It's all going hand in hand with all this, you know, human rights violations and uprisings, and it's a wild time to be alive. And I hope that people can find some, you know, solace or empowerment or something to sing along to as they rebel against this terrorist machine that's trying to kill our mother.
Yeah, such a good way of putting it. Yeah, that is spot on. Well, I have really enjoyed speaking with you.
Me too.
I thank you so much for your time. And
of course.
I can't wait for our listeners to hear this album when it's out in February 2022.
Yes, and who knows, maybe I'll be coming to the mountain towns of North Carolina.
Oh, I can't wait.
But
yeah,
nothing can be planned on.
Well, when you do, I'll be at the show. I'll be ready.
Yay! Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a collab, and you can violin, and I can play the banjo.
I would love that.
They do go together so well.
Oh yeah, yeah. So check it out. Keep your ears out for Bitchcraft. The evil man of Facebook won't let our record company advertise the record or. They won't let us even they won't let us advertise any of it because
of your profane name,
because of Bitch and Bitchcraft. So it really is going to be, it is so emblematic.
And the fact
that
you've been in the music game for what, 2 decades? Three?
Yeah.
it so illustrates the fact that like when the there was a time when people were excited about rebellion, and now it's like, nope, here's what you can and can't say. So to me, it just goes back to those systems of
so intense.
How much punk is needed, how much the punk ethos is needed, if not the, and honestly, the punk style, you definitely like, you embody that.
Yeah, so I will be relying on the coven of word of mouth to empower this album, Bitchcraft.
No problem. We got you.
Yay. So good to talk to you.
Yes. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye. So am I. So am I. So am I.